Just fantastic. Just God having fun with his paintbrush. So we've possibly all seen a little bit of God's creative power during our summer so far. And we're thinking about his power in other ways together now. When we were at New Wine, who was at New Wine? A few of us were at New Wine. Unfortunately, we had to stop a couple of days early because the winds, the storms were going to be too high on the Saturday, and we all needed to get our tents down before they were blown down. So God's powerful winds were in the forecast, but of course during New Wine we get used to, I shouldn't say used to, but his power was at work in many ways in people's lives, healing, setting free, chains being broken that we just sang about, and it was incredible. But it was the physical storm that was coming that thrust us more quickly back into our daily lives than perhaps we wanted to do. Now in today's Moses story, which we're going to do together in a minute, because it's five chapters, it's a bit long to do the whole version. But in that story, we hear about, we think about, we hear the many ways God put his power on display to show that he is the one true God, that he alone is in control of the universe, of the elements, and over people's lives as well. And he's not a God to be messed with. And he won't share his glory with anything or anybody else. He alone is the one we should worship. So before we hear and think about the story, we're going to pray and ask for God's Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our ears. Father, would you send the power of your Spirit now to open our spiritual eyes and ears, to open our hearts too, so that we may know you better and know the power of your love every day. And worship you in the way that you desire and deserve, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so like I said, we have five chapters of Exodus. We are not going to read them all now. It would take far too long. But I do recommend that if you want to follow the story through, as we're doing it through these six Sundays, if you go through the first 15 chapters of Exodus, even in one sitting, it is well worth it. But we're going to do a bit of a Reader's Digest version, if that's all right, this morning. And I need some help, so I'm going to ask Nathaniel and Morag if you could come out and help me, please. And as I said, we're only going to do nine plagues today. We're not going to do the 10th because Paul will do that next week. I hope he's getting the hint. The purpose of the 10 plagues in the book of Exodus is to make known that Israel's God is the true God and reigns over all people. And the plagues are also a direct attack against the Egyptian gods. Now, I want some children to come and hold out pictures for me. So maybe if you were in the game earlier, or even if you weren't, that's fine. I need nine children to come and hold out nine plagues. You can sit on the steps. You don't have to stand. Be brave. Just nine. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, two more. Could be a grown-up or a teenager. You're not allergic to helping, I'm sure. Yeah, you are. Two more kids. Two more adults. How many? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, we still need two more. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, round of applause for the big kids amongst us. Right, so for now, if you just sit on the top step and hold your picture down. Don't put it up until we say, okay? If you can try and do them in order, it'd be great. So, Chloe, do you want to do this one here? Do you want to sit here? How are we doing? Hopefully we've got them in order. Okay, you're going to get out of order, aren't you? Do you want to come and sit over here? Now we'll see if the vicar knows the plagues in the right order, because I certainly don't. There we go. Right, Paul, you're in control of the order. So just to give you a very quick context for today's bit of the story. So last week we saw Moses returning to Egypt to set about trying to get the Israelites freed from years of slavery. And part of what God had told Moses to say was, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you to let my son go. This is to Pharaoh, of course, so that he may worship me. Let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert. Now, Pharaoh says he doesn't know God, so why should he obey him? He thinks the Israelites are lazy, that they want to go away and worship instead of work. So he takes away their straw supplies that they need to make bricks and basically makes their lives even harder still. but he still demands the same amount of bricks are made. In chapter 6, God warns he will use his great power against the king so that the king will end up forcing God's people out of Egypt. And then in chapter 7, the Lord says, I will punish Egypt with my great power, bring the Israelites out, and then they will know that I am the Lord. The Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years and probably not able to really know or worship God. Likely their faith was passed down by word of mouth, but with no place to go and worship him. So we come to today's story. Now, on this side, are they Moses and Aaron on this side? Right. This side, you're Moses and Aaron, okay? This side, you're Pharaoh. And we're going to see who can shout their bit the loudest. Now, Pharaoh, there's a lot of you over here, so you guys have to shout louder. Pharaoh, you need to shout with a loud, grumpy voice, okay? I wonder, should we have a practice? Do we need a practice? Okay, so, do you want to stand up, Morag? Thank you. When Morag holds her thing up, actually, let's do you first. When Nathaniel holds his sign up, you've got to say really quickly, really loud, that's quite good. But a grumpy Pharaoh shouts. No. Okay, let's do that once more. It's going to be a bit faster, otherwise the story will lose its motion. So quickly go. Brilliant. Okay, so here we go. And then when we get to the plagues, you children, we want you to stand up on the top step with your particular plague. Okay, when it gets to that, so you have to listen really carefully. All right, here we go. Moses went down to the Nile River to meet Pharaoh. There, Moses placed his staff in the water, and suddenly the water turned to blood. Can you imagine if you turned on your tap in the morning and blood came out? Would that be really cool? Yeah, James thinks it's really cool, but for most of us, that would be really, really gross. Do you think Pharaoh was willing to let the people go? Was he? Who's got the no? There you go. Moses and Aaron went back to Pharaoh to ask. But Pharaoh said, no. So God put his power on display again for all of Egypt to see. This time he sent a plague of frogs. There were frogs everywhere. Frogs in the Egyptians' pots and pans, in their ovens, in their beds, even on the people themselves. Yuck. Moses and Aaron went back to Pharaoh and said, but Pharaoh said, and yet again God sent another plague upon Egypt. This time gnats swarmed throughout Egypt. Who's got gnats? Can you hold up the gnats for us? Thank you, Chloe. Brilliant. And they swarmed throughout Egypt, and again Moses and Aaron went back to Pharaoh to ask him, and again Pharaoh said, brilliant Pharaoh. God sent more plagues on the Egyptians. Flies swarmed throughout the land. God, get Tegan. Brilliant. The Egyptians' livestock died. That's you, Matt. The people were covered with painful sores on their bodies. Hail and fire rained down from the sky. Locusts ate up all the crops that were left after the hailstorm. And finally, the land was covered by darkness. Which of the plagues do you think would be the worst? Children, which do you think would be the worst? Paul thinks the boils. You think the locusts. You think the darkness. I think they're all pretty horrible, actually. I'm sure I'd have given up straight away if I was Pharaoh. I wonder how he felt after the ninth plague. When the land was in darkness for 3 days, I wonder how he felt. You can sit down. Thank you very much. Just stay there for a sec. Let's read from God's word and find out what Pharaoh said. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. So I think Morag and Nathaniel, you can probably sit down as well. Thank you very much. So Pharaoh's heart was hard towards God. He didn't believe that he was the one true God, and he refused to obey what God commanded, even though God had put all these amazing displays of his power, and I'm sure it was absolutely horrific, on display. Pope Benedict, when he was cardinal, said, the only goal of the Exodus is shown to be worship. The land is given to the people to be a place of worship of the true God. The freedom to give right worship to God appears in the encounter with Pharaoh to be the sole purpose of the Exodus. Indeed, its very essence. Time and again, God said, "Go to Pharaoh and say, 'Let my people go that they may worship me.'" Pharaoh has so many opportunities, doesn't he? Repeatedly, Moses tells Pharaoh the words of God, translated in the message as, "Release my people so that they can worship me." The world may understand our works, but does not necessarily see the importance and value of our worship. Pharaoh accuses the Israelites of being lazy and sees worship as an alternative to work. But worship is our supreme purpose and work. In fact, the Hebrew word for worship in this passage, avad, can be translated as both worship and work. Which begs another question for another day about what we do out there in the rest of the week after Sunday. The Egyptian people had many gods. It was shown well in that movie clip, idols which they worshipped, and the Pharaoh himself was looked up to as a god too. Their allegiance was to Pharaoh and to their gods. In Isaiah 42 verse 8 we read, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. I will not let idols take the praise that should be mine." God's desire is for his people to be set free to worship him throughout the whole of life, with no idols, no other things which take up our time, our mind, our headspace, our attention, the time and space that should be for him. His desire for us is that our hearts, our minds are not taken up with the idols, the playthings, the attractions of this world. God desires to free us from our addictions, our fears, our sin, our shame. He wants the whole of us so that we love and worship him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Pharaoh's heart was hard. It was very hard. I wonder if there's any hardening of our hearts. If there's any stuff that's preventing our freedom to worship God as he desires. Not in the desert necessarily, but in spirit and truth. As we read in part of the liturgy for the Eucharist, it is right that at all times and in all places we give him thanks and praise. In Colossians 3, we read this: "Put all evil things out of your life. Get rid of sexual immorality and impure acts. Don't let your feelings get out of control. Remove from your life all evil desires. Stop always wanting more and more." This really means living to serve a false god. And these things make God angry. And listen to Exodus 20:1 and 2. "I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt where you were slaves. You must not have any other gods before me. You must not make for yourself any idol." And later he says, "For I am a jealous God." Nothing is more dangerous than the wrath of an all-powerful, all-righteous God. And Paul says, serving false gods, false idols, makes God angry. Why is that? Because God is jealous. There is a righteous and holy jealousy which is not like the jealousy that we humans experience. God's jealousy is righteous. He deserves our deepest and strongest affections and admiration. He doesn't want our devotion to him compromised by other things. He doesn't want to share us or our attention with other distractions. Can we read that verse from Isaiah 42 together? "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. I will not let idols take the praise that should be mine." So I wonder, what are the idols that help to harden our hearts, to stop us loving God with all of our being? Do we even recognize that stuff in our lives? The world's playthings that stop us obeying God can prevent our wholehearted worship of him. Yet there is good news. There is always good news. This is good news. God shows us incredible grace by sending Jesus to obey perfectly when we could not. When we put our faith in Christ, God sees Jesus' perfect obedience instead of our hard hearts, and we can be forgiven. And he wants us to bring those distracting things, the idols, to him to set us free, to soften our hearts, our hard hearts, that we may enter fully into all that God has for us through his Son Jesus and in the power of his Spirit, who wants to lead us into all life. Under the seats down the centre, there are some strips of red paper, hopefully enough pens as well. Please do share those, pass them along the row, keep one or two for yourself. Children, thank you for your help. Grown-up children, thank you for your help. If you want to go back to your places so that you can join in as well, that will be great. So if you pass the strips of paper around, there should be plenty in church. If you don't have a pen on you and you can't see a pen, maybe wave your hand and one might magically appear. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment to be quiet and ask the Holy Spirit to show us anything in our lives that might be hardening our hearts. Stuff from which he wants to set us free. Those things we can bring to the cross. Now, we might not be aware of what makes our hearts hard or rebellious, but we're going to pray and ask him to show us. And if you find it helpful to write down on a strip of paper or more than one, some of those things. I actually made a chain. What did I do with it? There is some red tape around, which I might ask Morag, Janet to help. If you have enough stuff, like me, you can make it into a chain. And we're going to do something with that chain in a minute. So we're going to pray together. I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, would you reveal to us, would you show us any areas of our life where we are not worshipping you or not loving you with everything we have? Where our hearts might be hard, where our mind isn't captivated by you, Jesus. We sung a few moments ago, I can see the promised land. Though there's pain within the plan, there is victory in the end. Your love is my battle cry. When my fears, like Jericho, build their walls around my soul, when my heart is overthrown, your love is my battle cry, the anthem for all my life. Every giant will fall. The mountains will move. Every chain of the past you've broken in two. And that's what these things are. They're like chains. Over fear, over lies, we're singing the truth that nothing is impossible with you. If you have as many things as me and you want to make a chain of them, there is some red tape going round, or will go round in a minute. Just maybe wave your hand in the air if you want some sticky tape. I'm going to break these in a minute, symbolically. So you might have one thing, you might have a number of things. to bring to God this morning. Children, teenagers, old and young together. Just put your hand in the air if you want some sticky tape. It will magically appear. Thanks, Maya.